Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
We got a great program lined up. We're going to start with talking a little bit about behavioral finance and how it could impact your retirement.
We're also going to talk with Catherine Collison, who is the president of the Transamerica Institute. Great study on retirement and retirement planning and how people have changed the face of retirement.
Yep, and we've got a conversation with one of our advisors and more, so stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us, as most of you are probably listening to us, or a good portion of you listen to us on the radio, and some are listening to us on the podcast. And we just want to say welcome and glad you are investing some of your time with us. And we promise to do our best to make your investment worthwhile as you are.
Well, nice job of tying it into investing.
Kind of right now.
What are you thinking about that?
No.
Yeah, the return on their time on an investing on a weekend day?
I can't guarantee it'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely not.
It might actually be a waste of your time.
It could.
Could lose value.
It could.
Not FDIC insured.
Yes.
Your time's not.
Yes.
Anyway, it would have
your results may vary.
Yes, and it's not indicative
of any future investment.
Your life may go well after this. It may go poorly as well.
Yeah, we're hoping for the...
calamity could strike.
We're hoping for the former rather than the latter. So, but it's a financial show if you haven't gotten that so far. And we take calls. We have guests. It's just... hilarity ensues. Let's just put it that way.
And if you'd like to join the program, have a question for Scott and Pat, thinking maybe these guys could help me with my financial situation. You're thinking, well, I wonder if I could afford to retire, or how much income do I need to earn to supplement my retirement income to make things work?
You might be saying, how much is it going to cost to send my kids to college? And I will answer that. A lot. It's going to cost a lot.
More than you think.
And tuition is just the start.
I brought my kid back to, my son is at Boston College.
But he's a bright one, right? He's a smart one. He's a bright one. It wasn't to denigrate your daughter.
He's the academically motivated child.
Yeah.
That I did nothing to, obviously I tried encouraging him, but he didn't need to mention encouragement. Anyways, at Boston College, what I did not factor in my planning, because I was financial advisor, right? Since the kids were babies, I had 529 plans.
Mm-hmm.
And when the statements would come, I wouldn't really show them the numbers, but I'd talk about what this is, what it means to you as a child, options for college. I want you to make sure you know thinking about school and all. I did not plan two things. One is the travel costs for my wife and I to go back to Boston.
To visit?
Like this parent weekend coming up.
Did you go? Are you going?
I'm going to the parent weekend.
You're good.
I went to the orientation. Then we had to go tuck them in. You know, when he brought them in, tuck them in. That's a little teddy bear.
Really like that.
And then we had parents weekend coming up. So the one factor is the travel. The second is your kid goes to school in kind of a cool town, there's the shopping cost, which I didn't factor in as well.
Oh, you mean cool like in cold or cool like in?
Like kind of a hip place, Newberry Street, where there's little boutiques that my wife dragged me in.
Oh, not shopping for your son, shopping for your wife.
Yes, I did not factor that in at all.
Yeah. Well, that's...
so.
Those are the unknowns.
So my apologies to all the other people I've helped over the years. And going forward, we've got a completely different type of planning.
For college funding.
Yes. Where they are going to be, what kind of the travel costs, and the shopping for the spouse.
So if you have a question like, how much is it going to cost for my kid to go to school, or how do I save more, or my 401k's messed up and I don't quite understand it, or...
And we're officially empty nesters now, by the way.
Yeah.
And we haven't killed each other yet, which is good.
Have you started vacationing separately yet? That's next.
That's not a good idea.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Like I knew a couple that had a cabin, and they would alternate weeks on who used it.
Really? That's not good.
They're not together anymore.
Yeah, that was a tough call. You never saw that coming.
What a shock.
They can see it.
Never saw that. Never saw the two together.
They could see
anyway,
it coming.
Yeah, our number to join us with a question regarding something in your financial world. We'd love to take in your calls. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. That's 1-888-242-6766. That'll get you on Hanson McLean. So,
Let's talk about this.
We're both looking at the same thing.
Well, no, so we have a meeting before the show, and we, you know, you clip articles throughout the week that you think are interesting, and then we sit in a room.
What should we talk about?
And we, like, what do we talk about, right? You know, what's interesting? And oftentimes, Scott and I...
What's going to resonate with our listeners? What's going to resonate with our clients?
Oftentimes, we will come across the same article and think, well, this is pretty interesting.
And that's what this one was.
And that's one of these.
This is on...
Do your biases affect how you save for retirement? Do your biases, do your personal biases, how you believe the world works, affect how comfortable you will be in retirement?
Here's what's important. It's so important for you to understand your own biases, your own behavior when it comes to not only investing and saving for retirement, but also spending, when it comes to things like spending and debt, because we're all complicated people, right? We're humans. We're fallen. We're broken. All those things, right? We all have our own set of, sort of issues. But the better we can understand ourselves and how it relates to our own financial planning, the more secure our financial plans can be. So,
and the better relationship you will have with your spouse if you understand your view of money and your spouse's view of money.
Absolutely.
And not that you're going to agree.
But just like other areas of life, if you're married, you understand sometimes your spouse views things a little bit differently. Maybe it's not necessarily right or wrong. Sometimes it's just different. Same kind of thing.
Yeah, I just know that you do not leave anything in the sink overnight. Do I agree? No. I don't agree. I think it's okay to leave
like a cup
in the sink overnight. But
I'm afraid. See, if I go to Pat's house and I'm offered, would you like a glass of water? I'll think for a minute and then I'll say, no, thank you, because I realize that I'll drink a few sips and then when I put it down, it'll somehow leave my place where I had it and it be in the dishwasher.
In minutes. But so the point being is that it's good for us in a relationship, in a healthy relationship, to understand our own biases as well as that of our spouse's biases. And this helps frame how we act.
So
this is really important in retirement.
We're going to ask you a question and we want you to think about this answer. So this was the National Bureau of Economic Research. According to this article, they are a respected nonprofit think tank. They must be, right? They call themselves the National
Bureau.
So they're national. So they surveyed a bunch of people. Here's the question. Would you rather, and think about this yourself, think of your own answer.
And think, what would I do? We polled some of our staff here, not the financial advisors, because we would hope that they did it a little bit differently. But we polled the administrative staff on what
here's
how
the
they
question.
Would respond.
Would you rather receive $100 today or $120 12 months from now? So think in your own head.
Would you $100 today? Or 12 months from now, I give you $120. Which one would you take? And this is the funniest, the dichotomy on why people would actually. So think about it yourself. Which would you take? $100 today or $120 in 12 months?
Now, I read this. Obviously, I'd take $120 12 months from now. That's a 20% return.
Exactly.
Even if I were in desperate need of $100 today, I'd go out and borrow it. Heck, I could take a cash advance on my credit card.
And pay 10 or 12% and get 20% and pay it back.
Like this would be like a no-brainer.
Like light years ahead.
No-brainer. In my opinion, that's just my view of the world.
So 55% of the people that responded to the survey said that they would take the $100 today. Rather than wait for 12 months to get a 20% rate.
More than half
said, I want the money today. And this is what they call present bias, which is the money's more important to me today than it is in the future.
And we see this not only when it comes to saving, right? Because people think, well, I don't know if I should put money in my 401k because I kind of need the money today. So why do I want to save my 401k? I'll just spend the money today. We see it not only in our saving for retirement, but we also see it in the way people manage and handle their investments. Because when things are going up, nobody has a problem. But when things are going down in value, whether it's stocks, real estate, gold, doesn't really matter, that present value bias can come into play as well. And people think, well, look, I know the value is worth X today.
I won't know what it's like in 30 years and or they, 40 years.
They ignore statistical probabilities.
Historical evidence that a well-diversified, if you put money into a well-diversified portfolio, how it would have reacted historically. They ignore that because the present bias pressure is so great, which is, I know what it is today. One in the hand is better than two in the bush. And you see it in all forms of life. You see it in education. What is education, right? Why do you get educated? Well, for many people,
so you can get better at your skill.
Your job, your skill. For many people, and therefore you can demand a higher salary.
But that may or may not be why you get educated. I have some things I want to be educated on. I have a list of my next 12 months. It's not at a higher.
I said pay. For many people, formal education is so that you would bring more skill sets. So this is what's called present bias. You're biased to want it in the present. So if you're one of those people, you've got to constantly remind yourself that the thinking is I should worry about the long-term outcome, not the short-term outcome.
If you are one of the 55% that just answered in your mind, I'll take the $100 today instead of $120 later.
Investing is very difficult for you.
Because you view everything in the now.
In the now versus... So here's another thing this study came up with, which is that people don't understand how compounding works. Quickly, compounding is when your money makes money, and then the money that made money makes more money. Does that make sense? My interest earns interest.
Benjamin Franklin.
Earnings earns earnings.
Benjamin Franklin stated something to the effect of compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world.
So.
Compound. And a lot of people don't understand that. It was amazing to see what percentage. When they were answering a question of simple compounding, 75% of the respondents answered it incorrectly.
So if you want to become a better investor, certainly understand compounding and understand your own investment bias.
And I know here at Hanson McLean, one of the things we try to do with our clients is to get to understand them better so we can have the right kind of financial planning and the right kind of portfolio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a fantastic guest, Catherine Carlson, who's with Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies, is going to join us. We're going to hear about a new study. Stick around.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you are still with us. I hope you're still with us. And as we're talking about financial matters, we've got a segment that we like to have interesting people on to talk about really the changing landscape of retirement, kind of the new face of retirement, because it's different. And people approaching retirement today are looking at it differently than they were years ago. Here at Hanson McLean, Pat and I have been helping people transition to retirement for a quarter of a century. Right? So I started in this industry in 1990. And we've probably watched, between us, thousands of people move from working into retirement.
And some of them do an incredible job. We're not just talking about the money. We're talking about them as individuals. Some of them do an incredible job in this transition into retirement. I've seen people do retirement beautifully.
And that's probably the minority.
I've seen people do it terribly, and I've seen people that have started terrible and made it a good retirement.
So,
and it's not just financial, it's emotional as well. Probably as much emotional as it is financial.
Interesting study was just released by Transamerica. And so we have a guest, Catherine Carlson. She is the president of the Transamerica Institute and Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. And Catherine, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, we are glad you are here. And you've been doing this sort of thing for a long time. Just look at your resume, right? 20 years, it looked like, being an expert in retirement, retirement transition, retirement issues, current retirement issues right now. And so how are the baby boomers, we just kind of talked about 25 years, we've been doing this, things have changed. How have the perspectives for baby boomers today, how are they different on retirement today than they were for maybe their parents' generation?
Oh, baby boomers have rewritten the rules in every stage of life, and retirement is no different. So gone are the days of what we think of as the gold watch retirement, where you work full-time, full blast, all the way up until your last day of work, and your office and coworkers have punch and cookies and give you a gold watch, and then you never work again.
A lot of those jobs don't exist anymore, right? I mean, for one thing.
Well, times have changed that way, too. But baby boomers are completely reinventing retirement as something that is more of a transition from full-time work to not working and doing a lot of really interesting things in the process in terms of changing work patterns, which calls for changes in employment, as well as how they're thinking about spending their time in retirement.
In this latest study, what are some of kind of the interesting takeaways or maybe even surprises for you?
Now, one of the things that is so surprising to me, and it's baby boomers, is their determination and resilience in pursuing their vision of retirement, as I talked about, and also demonstrating that work and retirement are not mutually exclusive. You actually can retire and still continue working in some manner until the time comes where either you don't want to work at all or you're just not able to. But doing it on your terms.
Do they still use the word retirement?
Great question. We all still use the word retirement, baby boomers and all the other generations in the workforce, but it really does raise the question, is the word retirement even relevant anymore, or do we need to think of a new word?
I think we probably do need a new word. I just don't know one that really makes sense.
That would be.
And well, I think that's why everyone still uses the word retirement.
And,
right?
And for the listeners, we will have a copy of this study on our website, Hanson McLean's website on moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com, for a full copy of this great research that is done by Catherine Carlson from the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies, moneymatters.com.
Yeah, so you said doing it on their terms. How realistic is that? Because I saw in this study here, there's some interesting things here, like two-thirds of baby boomers plan to or already are working past age 65 or don't plan to retire at all. Two-thirds. What's the job market like for those folks? How realistic is that for the typical baby boomer?
That is a really big concern from the survey finding, because there is a vision, there's an aspiration, even an expectation. However, last year we did a survey of retirees, people who are already retired, and found out that 60% retired sooner than they had expected. And the median age they retired is 62.
Wow. So we've got two things going on, right? We've got people saying, I would like to keep working longer, I want to stay engaged, and then essentially one out of two of us are forced into retirement earlier than we had planned.
Yes, and there was a big, big lesson out of our survey of retirees, which I'm hoping that baby boomers who are still working and want to continue working will take notice. Of those who retired sooner than expected, two out of three cited employment-related reasons. Either they were laid off or reorganized or marginalized or incentivized.
Yeah.
They found themselves in a situation where they were no longer employed and presumably couldn't find anything.
Well, we've dealt with that.
Catherine, to that point, we have actually created a guide. It's actually on the same website, moneymatters.com. We've created a guide for people that go unexpected retirement, where it's basically you've got 60 days to make up your mind. And that's the incentivized or it's time to leave. And then we created a guide because it is so different than what people's plans were. And then one day they show up to work and their whole plans so there's people want to work longer. Are they finding jobs other than as Uber drivers working?
Well, and that what we see is the big concern is many are not. And of the baby boomers still in the workforce from this current survey, we asked specifically what steps they're taking so that they can continue working. And there were some big surprises because there are a lot aren't doing as much as they can to help improve the likelihood of their being able to work. So, for example, in the context of what steps are you taking, only 56% say they're focused on performing well at their current job.
Say that again. I misunderstood that. Say that again, please.
So we asked the question, what steps are you taking to help ensure that you can continue working past 65? And it was a battery of questions with different choices. Only 56% of baby boomer workers say that they're focused on performing well at their current job.
I find this so fascinating because if you look at people at retirement age today, there's a good chance they've got 30 years of retirement, right? So they work for three or four decades. They're going to somehow be retired for three or four decades. We spend a good part of our life preparing for that next chapter, right? We're in junior high. We're getting ready for high school. Then we're getting ready for college. Then we're in our career. We're trying to get better at our career and become a specialist in certain areas, et cetera. And I don't see many people approaching their retirement years with that same sort of planning.
Other than trying to plan for financially. But let's face it, when you go into retirement, you have days to fill with your time and years to fund.
Absolutely. And if we have learned anything in the last 10, 15 years, and this applies to people of all ages, if you're 40 years away from retirement, or if you're 10, when you're working, you got to do the hustle. It's not just getting the job. It's a highly competitive marketplace, and when we show up to work every day, we have to do our very best to be a shining star.
And one other thing I saw in your study, because you said that 60% of people retire earlier than they'd planned, according to the study here, and your study also says only 25% of boomers have a plan in place if suddenly retirement was thrust upon them.
Indeed. Only one in four have a backup plan if retirement happens unexpectedly. Unforeseen circumstances, job loss, health issues. So we see that boomers could do a whole lot more in terms of planning, and that very few have a plan B.
So in our last 90 seconds, what is the number one thing that someone in their mid-50s should be doing to prepare for retirement?
Take a hard look in the financial mirror and really assess your situation financially. Work with a financial advisor if it's more than you can handle on your own. Build some goals. Build a budget. Build a game plan to get there, including a backup plan, and at the same time, do everything that you can so that you can keep working as long as you want, if it's performing well at your current job or just keeping your job skills up to date if you find that you need to change jobs.
It's a really, really tough time for some people, especially I was visiting with some friends over last weekend that find themselves displaced at the age of 56.
Yes, very common.
And just not knowing where to go and no backup plan.
Catherine, thank you for joining us today. Again, Catherine is the president of Transamerica Institute and the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. They just came out with a new study that is available on our website at moneymatters.com. Catherine's also on the advisory board for the Milken Institute Center for the Future of Aging, which has some really pretty select group of individuals on that. And
also on our
work.
Also on our website is the retirement guide for a quick retirement. Essentially, if you are given the options of, hey, it's time you are leaving the workforce unplanned, just some ideas on what you can do to prepare.
Yeah, so thank you again, Catherine. And stick around. We're taking a quick break here. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Yeah.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out MoneyMatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on MoneyMatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
As we're here in the studio, Pat and I both kind of rocking out a bit to Aerosmith. Middle-aged white guys.
Music. Yeah. Aerosmith. That's what we were listening to.
He's retirement age.
Who is he?
Steven Tyler. Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah. We heard on the show once before your brush with greatness.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
You ran into him in a woman's
retirement.
Woman's garment.
Something. Which, I mean, we're talking about women's garment. We're talking.
You were shopping with your wife in a woman's store. You ran into Steven Tyler.
I saw him in the changing room. Yeah. It was not. Anyway.
You tell him he owed you money. It's always fun to go up to a celebrity.
Do you remember back when you were first started?
You borrowed $20 from me in a bar. You probably don't remember, Stephen.
But you know what's actually interesting? We're just talking.
Yeah, he's of retirement age.
Well, there's a lot of rockers that are beyond retirement age.
I went to see Sting and Peter Gabriel in concert.
No, they're not that
old. Sting's
not
65?
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, 65. Someone in the box. Look up Sting's age.
So we don't need to do that.
So I think his name is Sting and Peter Gabriel. And I would normally have not gone.
You know what?
But I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I have a list of good job opportunities for retirees.
Rockstar.
Rockstar. I never thought about that.
Number one. Rockstar.
Number one.
Number one. If you want a good retirement transition, jump. Rockstar.
I saw Iggy Pop on the flipping channels. He's always like he's like a kind of a punkish.
I don't know.
You know Iggy Pop?
No.
But he's no shirt and he's super skinny. And even as a young man, that he didn't look very good without a shirt.
And he's like in his 60s now 70s, and he's walking around with no shirt
70s.
On?
Skinny, looks like
Someone needs to talk to him. Someone's kind of like, hey.
There's a lot of people there being entertained by Iggy Pop. So
That train has left the station.
Yeah. So Rockstar.
You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. It's a financial show.
And we have the segment now. We talk with an advisor, one of our Hanson McLean advisors, and hear something about a situation they had with a client and how they helped them through that. Full disclosure here, disclaimer, this is not indicative of every individual that's been in our office. Some have had great experiences.
Some.
I think they've all had good experience.
But we can't say that. So compliance tells us that may or may not be your experience in working with our firm, Hanson McLean, Barron's 100 list, managed over $2 billion.
But we didn't get here by accident.
It might be completely different for you.
Anyway, but Adam Peters is one of our advisors in the Denver area. Adam is a certified financial planner. And he's been in financial services for 15 plus years and been with Denver area for a long time. Works with lots of clients there. And so, Adam, welcome to Hanson.
And he looks like Adam Carell.
He does. I never thought about that.
Yeah, he looks like Adam Carell.
Adam, are you with us?
Adam Carolla.
Oh, Adam Carolla. That's correct.
That is right. Thank you guys for having me on.
You know, he's got kind of an interesting voice like him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, but your name is Adam Peters. So, Adam, bring us through this client scenario. Obviously, don't use the person's name, but the circumstances, what the recommendation and what the outcomes were.
Absolutely. So this is a client that had come to us after hearing us on the Money Matters radio show and then looking at our website, moneymatters.com, in a very difficult stage in her life where she had recently lost her spouse, a longtime marriage. And he passed very suddenly. The husband in this case had done most of the financial decision-making before, so I guess a number of challenges she was dealing with. One was she was just on her own now, dealing with that grief, but also she had never looked into the financial matters and investments and risk management, those types of things. So she was feeling even more overwhelmed with that. And knowing that she wasn't experienced with that gave her a lot of fear about what the future brought.
Which is fairly normal. It's fairly normal.
Fairly normal. Absolutely.
And you met with her. How long had it been since she'd been widowed?
You know, when we initially had met, it was about 6 or so months after her husband had passed. And I think she had met with other individuals. People with the bank had called her about, you know, what she wanted to do with some money that had been freed up.
She hadn't bought an annuity, had she?
She had not, but it was presented to her. And in fact, it felt almost like it was pushed upon her, because one of the things she really told me when we were talking and trying to figure out where we could help is that she felt pressure that she had to do something immediately. She had to do something with these monies that came about right away, and she felt rushed into making that type of decision, but she didn't really know what was best for her. And really kind of going through the 7 personal decision points with her, it was discovered that they as a couple had never actually gone through and done planning before, but that her husband had bought some different products throughout the years.
Any children at home?
Into it. Not at home. No, the son that she's very close with, but no children at home.
And were the sons involved in any of the meetings with you?
You know, he was not directly involved with that, but he's very much involved with a lot of the planning and kind of where she's at now and the discussions that she and I had in terms of not only her retirement, making sure she's taken care of, making sure she's not making any rushed decisions, but ultimately when she's done with the monies, they're going to flow to her son and then her granddaughter from there.
Okay. So this is what the scenario looks like. So she comes in, she's 6 months after, still grieving, confused a little bit. There's probably been some proceeds from the sale of a life insurance, maybe a 401k that was needing to be rolled over or talked about. What were your recommendations?
And by the way, this is we're talking with Adam Peters, financial advisor, certified financial planner with Hanson McLean in Denver, Colorado.
So what were your recommendations?
You know, the first recommendation is not to do anything immediately. And I think that gave her so much relief because everyone else she had talked to was saying, move it here, buy this, go into this annuity or whatever the bank was telling her. So the first thing I told her is, look, we can go through this, but focus first on your grieving. The second thing, though, is once she felt it was the right time that we went through the 7 personal decision points, because that would now give her a little more confidence, a little more education, a little more clarity on what the future would look like. And that even involved, you know, her and I making calls or having meetings with different firms to try and figure out where the monies were at, because she really didn't even know. But where all of that was leading to is going through 7 personal decision points, which got her to the point where now she knows what her goals are. Now she has an idea of what the transition's like from now until retirement. Now she knows what it looks like for a long, comfortable retirement thereafter. So what she had was she had this sense of empowerment. She had a lot of confidence. She had a lot of stress relief. And she knew that, you know, we as a fiduciary working for her benefit were making sure that all of these different seemingly overwhelming items were coming together in one plan.
So
that is now providing the ideal picture for her long term.
So, Adam, did the husband that passed away, was it a collection of investments?
It was a collection of some different retirement accounts. It was a collection of some different kind of bank accounts. A lot of the major proceeds had come from some life insurance policies. But there was no real overall investment strategy that the family was following. And we see that with a lot of people, that it's an account here. They picked up this investment here or there, but there was no strategy to it. So that was part of going through that 7 personal decision points with her is now we have a strategy. Now, even though it might be in a couple of accounts, we have an overarching strategy for where all of our monies go.
So Adam, here's what I liked the most about your recommendations. I think the most important thing that you did in your recommendations is that you slowed the process down, that there is no hurry. There is no hurry to invest these dollars.
One of the reasons we had Adam on today is to demonstrate this, because so often when we see people that get sold something at a time of grieving.
Yes, and there's no rush. There's no rush. There's no, in fact, with someone recently,
exactly.
Yeah, someone recently where the person said they had to roll the IRAs over within, they had to move it immediately. There's no rush.
And sometimes by December 31st of the year following,
yeah.
There's some time frame, but you have several months.
This was not, they were trying to do it in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in this situation, right, a spouse or a friend, or just tell them to slow down. The person at the bank that's pushing the annuity.
Probably commission based.
First of all, that's just, I can't even get into that, because they mask themselves as the bank and they're selling product to people that may or may not be appropriate, yeah. Most of the time inappropriate.
Hey, Adam, thanks for coming on and sharing that story with us. And we're glad that she has you to.
And we're glad you're part of the Hansen McLean team.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Stick around for more Hansen McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hansen and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments. All on moneymatters.com.
Welcome back to Hansen.
Back to Hansen McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hansen McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hansen.
Pat McLean.
Hey, we've got, if you're listening to us on a radio program, that's fantastic. But you might also be listening to this through a podcast. And you can get this program via podcast. We've got thousands of podcast subscribers. And if you're not one, you should be one. Simply go on iTunes to Hansen McLean. Search Hansen McLean. If you're on Android, I don't know how it works. I've always had iPhones. And I imagine you do, though, if you're an Android.
Yeah, if you're an Android.
If you are an Android.
User.
Yes. Then you could go to whatever. But just go search Hansen McLean. You'll find us there. Link on the thing. If you'd like to put a review
the link on the
you click
thing.
On it.
Click on it. There you go.
Click. Push the button.
Anyway, and we will deliver this radio show free of charge to you. It's not a radio show if it's coming
and
to your podcast.
And it's commercial free.
Though. Commercial free.
Huh?
Come to you every week.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better than
that. No, it's really good.
Wake the kids, call the name.
By the way, we're going to go to calls here in a moment. If you want to join us, love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON.
That's 2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON if you'd like to be on the air. And we take calls every week. So even you listen to this in a podcast and you say, hey, I'd like to call in. Call in anytime,
yes.
Day or night.
We'll schedule it.
And we'll schedule it. We'll get you on the air.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
888-242-6766 is numerically 888-2-HANSON.
And as always, visit our website, moneymatters.com.
Before we go back,
we're trying to increase the traffic.
We're going to grab. We're going to go to the phone
obvious
here a second.
Reasons.
Obvious reasons. Years ago, I had a working with a client. Actually, it was a client. They said, can you help my daughter? She was widowed, had two kids still at home. And she'd been working with some other. Her husband was an active trader, had a broker, traditional broker, big firm. He would talk to his broker once or twice a week.
Okay.
So the broker probably liked good relationship. Broker probably made a lot of commissions, a lot of trading. So he passes away. Now she inherits this relationship with this broker. So things were obviously weren't working out well. So my client said, hey, can you meet with her? So when I met with her, we're talking. And as we're trying to talk about her long-term plans and stuff, she mentioned the jobs report that was coming out Friday. And I said, what's the jobs report have? How's that have any bearing on your life? She, well, the jobs report comes out at 10 o'clock Friday, because then depending on how the jobs report goes, then the markets will do. And her broker had somehow
Well, that's how our broker worked with her deceased husband, I'm sure.
Yes. I said, why don't you ignore the jobs report? Ignore the financial news, for that matter. You've got an advisor. The benefit of having an advisor is for your advisor to take care of that, do the worrying for you. Isn't that why you have an advisor? I said, you can do stuff on E-Trade if you want.
Yeah. It would be hard for the average person to understand the importance of the jobs report and the minutiae involved in it.
Yes. Yeah. What's, I mean, anyway.
Or whether it's important at all. Because, quite frankly, the participation rate is the thing that we really should be looking for.
Here we go. All right.
I'm just telling you. So you can spend all your time on the jobs report. I think the participation rate is...
We're going to go to the phones here. We're going to go to Eldorado Hills and talk with Matt. Matt, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Matt.
I love your show, and I always find it interesting.
Thank you.
How much humor you can put into finance.
It can be pretty boring otherwise.
So you already got me laughing. Okay. So my mother and father established a bypass trust in the mid-90s. My father passed away.
Sorry about that.
Funded the trust with a piece of property. Back then it was $600,000.
Yep.
And so my two questions would be...
There's a bypass trust that is now created. Is that correct?
Yes, it was created in the mid-90s.
Mom's still alive.
Yes.
Assets are held in her trust, but then there's a bypass trust from your father where there's a property held in that.
That's right.
Okay.
So my mother has a living trust, mm-hmm. but in the bypass trust is this property that funded it back in the once my father passed away. Obviously, that exemption is much higher and obsolete, effectively, based on the size of her estate now.
Correct. And there's portability now. So even if it wasn't obsolete, you could use portability in it.
But he passed away.
I'm not sure what portability means.
Okay, he passed away.
Yeah. Okay, so keep going.
My question is, does it step... the property is worth about $1 million now. It's very inflexible as one piece of property. Does it step up upon her passing?
No.
Okay.
So there's some downsides.
Cost basis.
Yes, there are some downsides to bypass trusts, right? And one of the things with people, and those listeners out there that have had your trust set up for a while, there's a good chance that the trust is written in such a manner that it's going to force the creation.
And you do
trust.
Not want it to be forced. You want to make the decision. In fact, I was just working with a client recently, a fairly large estate, where we decided not to fund the bypass trust.
So what happens? So at this time, when the money of this property went into that bypass trust, it is a separate trust for the benefit of your mother, I would assume during her lifetime. I imagine that's how it's drafted. And then when she passes, then it goes to whatever heirs he had listed, right?
That's correct.
And what's the overall size of your mother's estate outside of the bypass trust?
About 2.5. Okay.
And are you still working with the attorney that created the bypass trust?
Yes.
And have you talked to the attorney about breaking the bypass trust?
I have, and that was my next question.
It's not easy to do.
Do you dissolve the trust? I realize all five inheritors have to agree to it.
That's correct.
But it's complicated in that that was my next question. When does it make sense to dissolve versus sell the property, pay the tax, and have it become a much more manageable asset.
You've asked an estate planning question against an investment question.
I totally understand.
Right. So.
And the estate planning one is the attorney question, but you could perhaps give guidance on when to dissolve or when it might make sense. The investment one is pretty obvious based on flexibility.
How?
And whatnot.
Because if you got a $400,000 of gain, right?
Yes.
You're looking at a tax bill of over $100,000.
Is it an income producing property?
No.
It's a piece of land?
It's raw land.
It's raw land. So,
it does nothing.
So the second question is, how old is your mother?
85.
And how's her health?
okay.
So, and she doesn't need income. You're not taking any income off of it.
No.
What would I do?
So the question is, Pat, if you broke the trust, had the beneficiaries agreed to it, the asset then gets transferred to her.
Correct. You pay capital gains on it.
My question, I don't know the answer of what would the cost basis that she would then have it on? And is there anything in the regs that would prevent that from having a full step-up basis in the future? I do not know the answer to that.
That is correct.
And that's the question I would need to know.
So if you answered the cost basis is the same and you pay taxes on it, then I'd break the trust and I'd pay the taxes
now. Assuming all the beneficiaries agree to it.
Assuming they all agreed. And I would be quite comfortable actually selling is a raw piece of land in Northern California?
Yeah. Yes. It's in the Bay Area.
Oh.
A single piece property?
One piece.
How
one
big?
Piece. 18. 18 acres. Non-splittable, one residence goes on it. Not much you can do with it.
I'd put a single residence
on it.
So would you buy that property today if you had $1 million?
If I had 10, yes.
Okay.
Not if I only had no. It's a lovely piece of property, but the inflexibility of it is
it's
very, very difficult given her health. And then you suddenly have five people that then have to collectively make a decision on it.
So here's the benefit. What you just hit on is the benefit is actually if you sold it now, you'd be selling it in what is a fairly decent market for that piece of property.
Exactly.
Your mom dies in 2 years or 3 years and you're selling it then because the beneficiaries wanted the money. Who knows what the price is at that point in time?
And what happens if some of the beneficiaries say we don't want to sell?
So I would go both directions. I would look to break the trust, and I would look to sell the property.
Yep. If I were in your shoes, I'd be doing the same thing.
And I would be looking exactly like you are, which is liquidity to everything so that when mom does pass on, it's quick and easy.
But I would also run this by a tax attorney for a definitive answer on if we transfer this, if we break the trust, transfer it back to mom's living trust. Well, they would still have capital gain tax.
You'd have capital gains, correct. Either which way.
The question I'm uncertain about when you dissolve, when you file that trust and you save tax, right, because it avoids estate tax, I don't know if there's back penalties and things over
I would.
That's why I would bring a tax attorney into it.
Yeah.
But okay, I like your thinking.
I would definitely continue to explore, Matt.
I like your thinking.
Thanks very much, you guys. You're always helpful.
Well, I appreciate the call.
Well, I don't think we're always helpful, but appreciate that anyway. Hey, we are running out of
time.
We're
mostly helpful.
Yeah, sometimes. And for our attorneys, sometimes we're helpful, sometimes we may not be helpful and could cause damage to your lives. We're out of time. We're here every week at the same time, or you can get the podcast. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.